Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one ginger. We're hanging out. We're having some libations. We're having a good time.
Alexis just gave us a salad because we showed up hungry.
Honestly, I'm here to be your den mother.
It was a very mom move. I was like, I want it, but I don't want it because I want Jersey Mike's later. And everybody knows that I love myself some Jersey Mike's.
What feels really weird is that, like, I'm not aching for children in any significant way, but like, I've never felt more fulfilled than giving Jared a chicken leg and giving you guys both a salad to share. I was like, I am
keeping your friends alive.
And also nurturing.
Yes.
And nourishing.
Yes.
I was nearest and dearest.
Yep. I really think it comes when you least expect it. You're just like, well, now.
Is this my biological clock?
Yeah. The biological clock has been struck and now it will start ticking. Welcome.
Oh,
I mean,
no.
I'm not saying welcome because it hasn't happened for me yet, but I'm sure it will at some point.
You know what? We're in tandem with these things. I think any moment you or I will ignite the other one to care.
That's right. We can't do it without
each other. But
we don't
yet. That's right.
Not yet.
No.
How are we feeling?
Awesome.
I feel great now. Yeah, Jared's like a new person. He's had some protein.
Dude, I just had a chicken leg. I feel like a Viking.
Sometimes Jared tries to eat like on my schedule, not on my schedule, but like my amount. And
I'll try
to
hang with you, but you're like a bird who gets distracted easily.
It doesn't work for somebody who is much larger.
I'm like, it's noon. It's time to eat. It's 6 p.m. It's time to eat.
That's right.
No excuses.
Men must eat now.
All right. Well, what do we want? Well, number one, I want to tell everybody about our Patreon. Please join our Patreon. So much fun shit going on over there.
Honestly, our Patreon is so fantastic. It doesn't live by the same rigid confines that the First Degree or even Killing Time does. It's truly sort of an expression of our truest true crime form. We can do everything. Anything. And we are. And we're doing really interesting stuff, I think.
You could maybe even be nude on Patreon. Who knows?
You can be nude?
I don't know.
This is an OnlyFans.
Why are you looking at me?
I don't know. I mean, Patreon seems to be like no holds barred, I guess. Or maybe not. Maybe not nudity.
So anyways, we're
not
getting all nude over on Patreon.
We're not getting nude over there. But maybe feetfinder.com at some point.
Oh.
It's going to show those feet pics.
I mean, if you've got a good foot,
might as well flaunt it and make some money off of it.
I don't even know if it has to be a good foot. People are looking for anything out there, I think.
They're looking for barefoot.
Yeah.
People are looking for a foot. Okay, are we ready to jump into the dark day?
Yeah, but first, I want to remind everybody the worsty, firsty phone number.
Yes,
because
please.
We want you to call with your confessions. Please, 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 we want them. So the number for the worsty, firsties is 323-539-3516. And then I want to remind everybody about the phone number for On the Stand.
Yes.
Because we are integrating your On the Stands into our On the Stand segment, and we are doing extended versions on Patreon as well, since that seems to be the crowd pleaser all around. So to call in your On the Stand, air your grievances, 818-446-6889. That's 818-446-6889.
Woo! All right. Well, we're going to get into the dark day. It is September 22nd, and in September 22nd of 1692, the last people were hanged for witchcraft. Eight people in the U.S. during the Salem witch trials. It was the last of the executions.
They were hanged or burned?
They were hanged.
That's so scary.
I think the burning was not true.
Really?
I think it was just a
myth.
A myth. And most people were hanged. So on September 22nd of 1692, eight people were hanged for their alleged crimes as witches. They were among 20 who were killed as a result of the hysteria that took place in the New England village of Salem, which Jared and I are going to go visit.
What?
We are.
In a couple weeks. We're going to do like an early October trip to Salem.
It's a little like Halloween town, you know?
Yeah.
I love that. Well, you better be back by the second week of October so we can sail to Catalina.
Yeah. No, we will be.
Okay, good.
It's the weekend before.
I mean, it's on the calendars,
We've
right?
We decided we just no longer want to be home. So. Okay.
We won't be home.
You don't have homes now.
No.
No. So... In Salem, there is fear of demonic possession that struck panic among the Puritans, and there were more than 200 accusations against anyone suspected of witchcraft.
Ooh.
So, should we get into the witch? Like, do we know what happened in the Salem witch trials, or should I like give a little summary?
I think we should get into it. I also just want to note, I just think it's fascinating that in every society, they have to find like pariahs to blame things on. And I just think it's, you see it literally everywhere in every, you know, decade, you know, there's always, and you see it in every culture around the world. Yeah. This isn't just a Western thing. Like everyone has to be pointing to a group of people to be blaming them for the, you know,
for whatever is going on.
Agitations in the world.
So in Massachusetts in the late 1600s, a few young girls claimed to be possessed by the devil and they blamed local witches for their demons. And so this sent this entire panic through the village of Salem and led to accusations of more than 200 local citizens for the next several months. So the Salem witch trials was not that long. It was only like a few months long. And they were going on these witch hunts that we have heard about. And there was this like crazy hysteria that resulted in the arrest of nearly 150 people. There were all these court hearings, which must have been fucking crazy to go to because everybody was just hysterical and crazed.
Well, and also how they were finding out if you're a witch. It's like, hey, if you drowned, you're innocent. But if you live, you're a witch. I'm like, okay.
I mean,
so,
there's no upside to that.
Yeah. I'm like, so this is like you die or we're right.
Right. Well, and also is just like the way that they're proving people were witches is if people went hysterical in the courtrooms. Like there, it was basically like if people freaked out, that meant you were a witch because you were like,
when they're scared, they're going to be killed
by you.
Right.
Because they're, because everybody's just trying to point the finger at each other.
And of course, hysterical, right? That is obviously a term about women, you know, like only women can be hysterical. Yeah. So only women can be witches.
Yeah. Of course. Well, that's not true. There were a few men.
Warlocks.
No, witches.
What?
We're going to get into the... Like,
tell me everything.
There is one man that I was doing some research about that was found guilty and was executed. But a lot of the people that were found guilty were chained to the walls in a prison's basement known as the Witch Jail. And these were perpetually dark, cold, and wet dungeon infested thing with water.
Vermin?
And they had a bunch of water rats around.
It's so basically what a witch or a warlock would enjoy after hearing it.
So many of the women were repeatedly humiliated by being forced to strip naked and undergo physical examinations of their nude bodies. So there are just, I mean, it's fucking insane.
It gets worse and worse.
And in all, there were 4 execution dates. That's all, which is crazy because, again, I thought it was a lot longer and a lot more robust, but it was pretty short.
But they were doing like a few a day or like 10 a day? Or
there were like groups a day. The last one had 8 people. So... it was 19 women and men that were taken to Proctor's Ledge to die by hanging from a tree. So everybody was executed by hanging.
That is so scary.
So about 20 years after the convictions in 1711, the colony passed a bill pardoning those accused and granted monetary restitutions to the surviving victims and their families. So that doesn't help anybody that was executed, but I guess they kind of went back and were trying to undo their wrongs.
Fucking oops.
Big fucking oops. But I mean, it's such a crazy time. And I did a lot of research into some of the victims that were killed during the Salem witch trial that we're going to get into when we come back for True Crime Rewind, because there's so, everybody's story is just so fascinating to me.
I cannot wait.
And how they ended up in that situation.
I like this.
We'll get to that in a bit. But until then, we have got some bitching to do.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead, guilty or not guilty?
Okay, welcome to On the Stand. Every week, we're bringing a person, place, thing, or an idea to the stand that's either grinding our gears or we're really loving. We're going to have a good conversation about it, vote if it's guilty or not guilty, and then we're going to bring it to Instagram for everybody, for all of our firsties, to vote on. And do we have a firstie on the stand that we're also going to share today?
You know that we do.
All right, so that'll be our fourth on the stand. So who would like to go first?
I went first last time.
I'll go first. So today on the stand, I'm putting on the stand the metaverse.
Oh.
you know, when we were first introduced to the metaverse, it was introduced to us like, this is the future. This is where everything is going. Like, you better buy your outfit for like the virtual reality that we're all going to be living in.
And these expensive sneaker drops for like your sneaker avatar to have.
And like all of these NFTs for all the art hanging on your wall. And so I kind of bought into it a little bit. I was honestly even thinking about selling a few NFTs in the beginning of the year.
We looked into it.
I was like, maybe this, I can make art. Like, maybe all these people are making millions of dollars. Why not? And then I feel like the cracks started to show a little bit. Like, where the NFT price dropped dramatically. I know a lot of the
crypto markets took a huge hit. I just listened to a fascinating the Daily podcast.
Mm-hmm.
New York Times has a really good like breakdown of what happened.
Ooh. I had a lot of like annoying crypto bro friends like that I've just known, you know, and they're very public about it on their Twitters, and they all went
nuts.
Dark.
Yeah.
But nobody is posting.
And when you're an outsider, you kind of like love that. I didn't like that people lost money, but you're just like, no. I don't get it. This seems like fake money.
When I didn't invest,
fake,
which I was like, am I a sucker? Like,
I don't want to be a sucker.
Who, like, when I was in middle school and high school, like, everyone's parents were buying Apple stock in middle school, right? Before Apple blew up. And I was like, I always felt like a fool. Like, friends of mine had like a couple original Apple shares.
Wow.
I was like, how?
Crazy. Yeah.
Because they bought it when it was not worth a lot. And I was like, maybe this is crypto. And then I'm not happy that like I didn't miss out, but I'm not sad.
It doesn't
It's a little validating.
Yeah.
That you're like, I thought this was a scam. And like, maybe, I mean, I think NFTs are pretty much a scam.
I don't know. Here's the thing is like,
I mean, everything
it's
is
all
just whatever
shake
value.
Out still. So who knows? But it doesn't, to me, it doesn't look that great because it seems like it kind of followed the trend of the actual stock market. And the whole idea was that it was
decentralized.
Yes.
So I don't know. And I think, whatever. I know you're talking about the metaverse, but it is kind of, it all kind of ties in.
It's all tied in because it's like Web3. It's like the future. It's like, where is it going to be? And that's where like the metaverse, we're like, God, I gotta like buy into this fucking bullshit. I don't have enough time. But like, if this is, you know, we're trying to have a business in this world that's ever changing, like, do we need to like get an avatar and like whatever? So I'm putting on the stand the metaverse. Now, I have not joined it. I don't know what it's like.
Oh, it's already out?
People are in the metaverse.
What?
But like, from what I hear, it kind of sucks. Like, the graphics aren't great.
I saw Zuckerberg had posted this like photo of himself in it the other day, and it got like memed to shit because it was like, it just looked so stupid.
Uh-huh. No, like the backgrounds look like they're from like GeoPages
like
back
Sims?
In the day, like bad Sims, like first generation Sims. And it's like, we have the technology to make this look like an amazing universe.
Here's my question.
What?
What is it? What's the end goal? Like, are we all supposed to be in our basement, like, completely hairless in, like, a vat with, like, a suit on?
We're all supposed to look like powder.
Is that what it is? Yeah. Like, and you just have, like, a haptic suit on, and, like, you're just, like, you just, life
a green
is just
screen
you
suit.
In a tub.
And it's, but, and then you're just, like, feeding into, the, like, the capitalistic machine, because all you're doing is spending money on your new outfits in the metaverse.
Life
and, like,
isn't worth living unless you get validation online. That's sort of, like, the same sort of monster they're feeding, because it's, like, but can't you just be in a beautiful destination with no one knowing? And isn't that living? Not according to them, because then no one knows about it, and you're not gaining clout with it.
And nobody is spending money on their product and living in their fucking world that they're monopolizing over everything else. But
totally.
I can't buy into it. Like, it is so unattractive and unappealing to me. Like, there is nothing about it that I want to be a part of. And I really wonder this, because I'm like, is this an our generation thing? But then I think about Gen Z, and I'm like, I don't think any of Gen Z is like jumping to be a part of the metaverse. I feel like unless you're going to force you for whatever job that you're in, if they're making meetings in the metaverse and you have to do that, I don't see anybody really dying to be a part of it.
I think there's a fundamental flaw with it is that, like, if you look at why social media has succeeded, it's because you get validation for your real life.
Yes.
Yeah.
For the real decisions you're making and the real clothes you're buying
and
the wearing.
Places you're going.
And like what you look like. And yes, we're made to feel horribly insecure about all these things through social media, but at least it's an authentic, tangible thing that you have feelings about. I would struggle to become emotionally involved with like my meta self.
Yeah.
Because the stakes aren't high. They have to create like stakes, and please don't.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's no stakes in it where it's like, can you become a social outcast and then you're not involved in it because you got, you know, thumbs down so over many times. Like, and the only way there are stakes is if you lose something, and which would be financial, or they'd have to come up with some way to I don't want
there's
it.
There's definitely something missing, right? Yeah. There's some, oh, yeah. There's the...
Why
like,
would
the,
we do any... Why would we should subject ourselves to it?
Yeah, there's the question. The soul... It's like soulless. Totally. And that's where it's like, I just can't find... I can't find any reason to feel like I want to be a part of it. And I can't be alone. I feel like they're pounding it over our heads that like, this is the future and this is what you should do. And this is what you want to do if you're going to succeed and don't be left behind. But then I feel like, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but because I would love to hear other people's opinions on it. Yeah. But like as a collective, nobody wants to do this, right? Like, I think that we all just want to like probably live our lives and like not have to.
Right.
I think we're all sad that we even got sucked into Facebook and Instagram. Like, I think we're all like, remember when we were young and we didn't have any of this and how good it felt to be alive?
Yeah. MySpace was the final frontier of good internet.
Yeah.
Like MySpace, there was some bullying and shit going on, but like there was a lot of goodness.
I've been wrong about most internet things. Like, I shit all over Twitter when it came out and I was like, this is the dumbest. Yeah. No, I was like,
Twitter does suck.
It does suck, but it's been a tool this entire, like it had a really big impact on society.
Oh,
it really
absolutely.
Did. But when it came out, I was like, who wants to, this is literally just my away message on AIM.
Yeah. But Twitter's like bullying. Like whether it's like politicians bullying each other or people bullying politicians or politicians, like, it's just like a place to fucking call people out.
Yeah.
And that, you know, for whatever that's worth, like things were better before we could do that.
Fucking welcome to the internet.
Yeah.
but to your point, you're like, I was like against it and I didn't understand it.
And then it ended up
being like this massive pillar of like our social
pop
society.
Culture, zeitgeist, yeah.
But that's where I think that maybe with the metaverse, that's where I'm at, where it's like, am I going to be sorry that like I wasn't a part of it? Or like, are we going to look back being like, I can't believe there was a time where we didn't live in the metaverse all the time.
This is why we'll keep the podcast going. And 5 years from now, we'll roll the tape and we'll find out.
We'll see.
No, but something we just have to depart with is that the people who create these platforms do not let their own children on them.
Yeah.
So, and yes, sure, they're billionaires. So it's like, hey, you're not going to miss out on the financial, opportunities. But like, they don't let their own children on them. Mark Cuban does not let his children on social media. Rich people with know-how do not let their children on these platforms for a reason.
Yeah.
So that's, you know.
And what was that? What was that fucking documentary about the social project or the social member where it was just how
dilemma?
Else, the social dilemma where everything is basically created
them, like,
to be
making,
addictive and like a drug. And like, so obviously whatever this metaverse is that they're creating, they have all of the data, like more data than anybody else has to create something that is just going to keep people on it, allegedly, but nobody wants to join it.
Guilty.
Didn't even know it was available yet. Guilty.
If I want to escape life here on Earth, I'd rather go to space, to be fair.
Same.
So I'm waiting for that.
Shoot me off to Mars.
Bye.
All right, who's next?
I can go.
Okay.
That was a good one. That was a good one.
You know what? I didn't even really think about it much.
Really sparked
a lot of
thoughts.
We're in the car. I was like, I think I'll put the metaverse on the scene.
I'm glad
not really
you did.
Thinking about it. Thanks.
Mine is much simpler than that.
Okay.
Adult birthday parties. Having a birthday party as an adult.
Okay.
This for me is, I say this, I haven't had an adult birthday party in a while. When Jack and I first started dating, I think I had one when I was like turning 31 or something, 32 maybe.
You're a child.
Yeah. I'm.
He didn't want to do
it. I'm just saying that to confuse you all. We're in our 20s, me and Jack.
Yeah. I'm way older. So I was in Phoenix, Jack was in town, and I wanted to get everybody together and go bowling. So I, as a 31 or 32 year old, organized my own birthday party, had everybody meet me at the bowling alley. And it was weird. We had like 5 or 6 lanes. They like way overcharged me because they're like, oh, birthday party fee. And then nobody chipped in.
Aww.
And then so I paid like a shit ton of money for my own birthday party. And like,
as you should.
But then after it was all done and everybody left,
you're like, I didn't have
that
good of a time.
I was like, why did I do that? Like, I could have just gone bowling.
Jack likes bowling and you're in love with Jack.
Yeah.
He was trying to impress me at the time.
I was like, look at all these friends that I have.
I was like, I don't give a fuck.
I don't think it's that weird though. Like, Jack will be like, hey, we're going to Malibu Wines or we're going to Portland.
That's less than a, but like, I'm not planning a party. I think maybe it's
a party,
if you're like, I'm having a party, I'm like planning this and this, which some people love. Birthdays are very, very divisive because I feel like you either love your birthday and you're a birthday week, birthday month person, or you're like how we are and you don't really give a fuck. But like
come to the cemetery with a cheese is my birthday.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I did nothing.
I just feel like
my boyfriend didn't come. I love you, Matt. But he was moving his boat.
Yeah.
So he couldn't come.
That's important business.
He took me out to dinner and we had our own little thing, but like it could, it shouldn't matter that much.
But
like,
you know what? Going back to what your birthday party was, birthday parties are always disappointing, and birthdays are usually disappointing because you, no matter if you're trying not to, you have this idea in your head of what it's going to be and how you're going to feel. And I think birthdays remind you of your mortality. Birthdays remind you of like
childhood trauma.
Childhood trauma.
No one acts fucking weirder on your birthdays than your fucking parents. Yeah. Let's be fucking real.
For real.
They're
what
like, I gave birth 30 years ago. Yeah. Just imagine how your mother feels.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's true. I just don't think many good things come out of a birthday party.
Honestly,
yeah.
Everyone's sadder on the other side.
And again, on the adult level, as a kid, you're oblivious to all this shit and it's a blast and whatever you get to, you know,
is it,
go paintballing. I don't know. I had a
it
couple
depends
good ones.
On if you get made fun of for not being able to bust open your own pinata.
Mm. Oh, that's a whole, when you step up to the plate on that one, it's pretty traumatic. Yeah.
If you
want to
blindfold
sure.
kids and embarrass them and you think you're not traumatizing them, like blindfold anyone and tell them to swing a stick. And now with
you're
cell phones,
wrong.
Like, oh, now you have a dorky kid swinging a bat blindfolded, immortalized with a cell phone camera. Fuck that. I would never do that to my child.
You're not. That's like,
you know,
not
what you
wrong.
Do if now for birthday parties, you got to do that thing when they do it like comedy shows where everybody has to put their phone in a bag.
Yeah. Yes. Because they're
you're gonna film my kid whiffing his pinata. Yeah.
No, it's also putting, and this is it, come, this is like what it's like for me. I don't like the attention on me, and a birthday party puts all of the attention on you. People are looking at how you're acting and how you're reacting, and like,
yeah,
I don't want the attention. I want to put it on somebody else.
We were just talking about this, my mom and Matt and I, because Matt's birthday just passed, and like literally my mom told me, she's like, you hid under the table every time they sang to you. Like, yeah, you would hide under the
so
table
awkward.
When they came up with a cake. And I was, as a kid, you're like allowed to hide under a table.
Yeah.
So that's what I would do, because like I've never liked it. It makes me fucking feel weird.
I want to hide under a table now.
But it's weird when you're a grown up doing it.
It's a little bit weird.
A kid, I'm like, that's, I miss that up. I miss that. Like a awkward meeting. Like, don't you just want to bail under a table?
Yes. Good. God, I wish that was an available thing to do.
Same.
All right. Birthday parties are guilty.
Guilty.
I'll go with guilty.
Adult Unless birthday party.
I think milestones are okay. I think if you're like Kim Kardashian, that's okay. I think us, maybe not.
I also think if you're gonna throw a birthday party and you're an adult, you should pay for it.
Like, and by the way,
you should not assume that people are gonna pitch into your birthday party because nobody fucking cares.
Also, this doesn't include like going out to like get brunch or get drinks with your friends. I mean like a setup activity birthday party.
Well, I think my last birthday party before COVID, I'm like, hey, everyone meet me at the club thing. And like, we all had, it was just drinks.
Yeah.
Like, we're no one had to really do anything.
We'd probably do that even if it wasn't your birthday.
I think
honestly.
So.
No offense, but.
We're going to go on to mine now.
Okay.
So my on the stand is, and I hope I haven't done this before.
Okay.
I don't want anyone dropping by.
Ah, dropping by. Dropping by.
Wait, what's that called? It's called like a pop-in or something?
Whatever it is.
Okay.
I don't care if you're my landlord. I don't care if you're my landlord's contractor. I don't care if you're the plumber. I don't care if you're AT&T. Don't knock on my door without you have my number. Just give me a heads up. Because, like, I'm sorry. In my home, I'm in an apartment where there's no windows facing my place. Like, I'm the naked neighbor.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, I'm, like, usually, like, doing a hair mask and a face mask and, like, in some slip. Like, some awkward ass, like... Yeah. Thing no one should ever see me
I'm not
in
ready to receive a guest
at all. I mean, probably like exfoliating my legs. I'm doing crazy like alone behavior not meant for anyone to be here.
Yeah.
When people knock, I think I'm about to die. I'm like, who? It's the IRS serving me papers, or it's like some sort of, I know I'm not a man, but like someone's serving me paternity papers. Like, it's some like unexpected life derailing news.
Yeah.
Because if someone couldn't call first, then my life is over.
Yeah. I mean, it's very invasive and intrusive.
Right.
I would
thank
say
God we live in an apartment that you literally physically cannot pop in at all. But like, that's like scary.
Do you guys actually know how crazy we sound? Because like the old world, like if you watch Seinfeld, right? Before cell phones, people popped in.
I
was in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, it was in the neighborhood. I just thought I'd see if you were home. I'm like, how dare you?
We're fucking busy. The chances of me being free for a pop-in are
almost
slim
never
to none.
When was the last time you're like, oh, I'm in so-and-so's neck
neighborhood?
Of the woods.
Never.
I'm going to stop by. Nobody does. Okay, hold on. I'm not going to say nobody does that, but I don't know anybody that
maybe
does
in
that.
Like a small town, you know, like, I don't know. For in like maybe a family
lives
there.
Lifestyle.
Yeah, because for me, I'd be like, I need to keep an eye on you now.
Yeah.
Because why are you here?
You're watching me.
Even if a friend did it, I'd be like, I'm overwhelmed because I now want to serve you something and I have to go. And like, I feel like this is my time to like do nothing before I start research. I'd be like, this is an obstruction.
Yeah. Entertaining is, it's such an obligation.
I have to mentally prepare for it.
Yeah.
And I hate entertaining.
No, especially unannounced. And now I got to like snap too.
Unannounced?
And like,
can you imagine?
Oh no.
So this is where I'm at with this. I will say though, like generations prior would be like, you guys don't understand life. This is like what life's about. It's like the unexpected.
Unfortunately, we don't.
The unexpected pop in is like,
but because that's
life's
what,
meaning.
Yeah. Because that's what life was about. They were ready for it. Like chances are you had something ready to like serve to a guest because guests came over.
Popped in.
Unannounced.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm not ready for you.
No. And frankly,
I don't want you.
Someone could text me and I could already know where they are with their geotagging. Yeah. And like, that's too much information.
Yeah. Mm.
Don't stop by unannounced. No one should do it.
Nah, don't do it. Guilty.
Guilty.
Guilty. Guilty.
Woohoo. Oh, now it's time for our very special friend to tell us what they're putting on the stand. And that special friend is you.
Hi. My on the stand is when you're driving through road construction and say you're in the left lane and there's a sign that says left lane, close ahead, half mile, move over right away. Make an effort to move over. Don't, like, continue driving in the left lane until there's literally the flashing arrow. That is my number one pet peeve with driving and road construction is the people who just continue to stay in the lane even though they know it's going to close and make absolutely zero effort. Just, like, put your blinker on. Some nice person's going to let you over, and it's just so frustrating and so annoying. But hope you guys have a great day. Goodbye.
I've never been more ready to answer anything ever.
Something just happened to us.
On the way here today, this very same day,
today.
I was getting, you know, we're on the 405 going to the 10. The right-hand lane merges in. So, you know that thing that people do where, like, okay, there is, like, a natural zippering. I think they call it zippering that happens when the lane merges and, like, cars kind of, like, find their way.
Yeah,
and
you're supposed to go left. Cars are right. Coming on from the on-ramp, and cars are trying to get off at the near off-ramp.
Right, but, at this one, it's just a lane that's merging into the other lane. So, it's one lane. It's two lanes turning into one. In my experience, it's better to just kind of like I get close to the end of it, but I don't like to merge at the last second. You kind of like naturally work your way in, which is what I did today.
Sure.
After I did this, 15 people flew past us on the right side. So I start getting upset because I'm
obviously
sort of prone to road rage. And
yep.
And so I decide I'm going to wiggle the ass end of the Jeep into like kind of both lanes to kind of discourage this behavior of like kind of cutting.
Oh, you're going to show them.
So this woman like swerves around me and then almost hits the car in front of her because she was paying so much attention to like, I don't know, our Jeep, slams on her brakes and then starts like shouting at Jack and I.
So what did you do?
Well, like, obviously I'm like, fuck you. Like,
yeah, obviously.
Yeah, well, of course. And then, I mean, that was the end of it. But I just feel like it's inconsiderate to do it at the last second. You need to do that way earlier. So I agree with this on the stand because I feel like I obeyed that today. Somebody else did not. And they almost paid the price. She almost crashed because she wasn't paying attention. She was trying to be speedy and get in front of everybody.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I feel like that sort of chaotic driving behavior can really be costly.
There is just like an etiquette that they don't teach you when you're doing your driving school, but like there's just an etiquette that you should know and not be an asshole.
Unspoken rules of the road.
They did teach it. Like they said it was like caution, some other one, and courtesy.
Mm.
Like you should, before you want to go, you should let someone go as a courtesy. Like you should be the bigger person always in driving. That's sort of like what they teach you. Like you should let people go because... But I you know, I'm one of those people, I always follow the rules. Mm. And then I saw people not following the rules.
Then
and
you
I got
follow those people.
And then I got so angry that I was a sucker following the rules that I turned into a Slytherin of the road.
We've all done that.
I'll definitely.
Slytherin of the road.
Jared was being a little, you're like, you could have gotten yourself in there.
I could have got myself in there. How? What do you mean?
Well, like if I, there was a big,
like, I should have went around those people.
It was,
you're
very
saying?
Unbalanced. It was like a lot coming in from the right. There was the line on the left was stopped. So the right was filling in the spots to make a zipper.
Yeah.
And you were just getting mad because there's a lot of people filling in those spots on the right
before you because
you were in the slow lane.
See, now that the blinding rage that I had has like settled a little bit. Sure. I think you might be right.
Honestly,
that's okay. You got to admit your mistakes.
It's all right.
Nobody got hurt.
It's
the gift of hindsight.
Yeah.
That is right.
We're going to say guilty.
We're saying guilty.
Lots of guilty
verdicts
today.
Figure out the rules of the road. Follow them.
This is a great on this.
I loved it. I loved it.
Well, when we come back, we're going back into the Salem witch trial.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey. There's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era, somebody out there wants what you don't, and The RealReal makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For The RealReal, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on TheRealReal.com using code FIRST. That's TheRealReal.com using the code FIRST.
True crime.
Yeah, it's rewind time.
All right. So for True Crime Rewind today, I decided to kind of do some research on some of the victims from the Salem witch trial and tell their stories because they're all very interesting, because it's like, how the fuck do you end up being labeled as a witch during this very chaotic, hectic time? So we're going to start off with Bridget Bishop. And even before the Salem witch trials were going on, people were still like saying that people were witches. So she kind of had a history of being
even before.
And her second husband said that she was a bad wife. She sat up all night with the devil.
It was definitely an ex-husband.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
this was like her second husband. I didn't know that people had multiple husbands back in the day.
And honestly, we're not sitting up all night with the devil. We just don't want to hang out with you.
Yep.
And maybe we have insomnia and anxiety because we're being fucking... Because
women are tasked with creating life and all these other stressors that men can't fucking fathom.
Yes. So she... Everybody
sounds like something a witch would say.
Yeah, sure does.
Dude, they were just calling people witches because they're fucking scared of women, because women are powerful
and sexy
and sexual
and like can also be smarter than them and
fucking
do
pissed.
Money and also literally anything a man can do, but plus create a human.
We can do better bleeding or whatever that patch was.
That's right. And you should be afraid of us, bitches.
Okay, so. Whatever. She avoided charges of being a witch in the years earlier, but in 1692, everything kind of changed for her. In April, the afflicted girls, which I guess are people that ended
afflicted?
Up accusing people of witchcraft, accused her of bewitching them. So that's all that you really needed. Somebody just had to be like, you're a witch. And then you're a witch, apparently. And as soon as she walked into the courtroom, everybody just went into like all these fits. So that was like... like proving that she was a witch.
Right.
So a bunch of people testified against her, saying that she was using voodoo dolls and like blah, 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 blah. And she had a witch's mark. But she ended up being found guilty, and she was one of the first people to be hanged. And her death warrant reads, on June 10th of 1692, High Sheriff George Corwin took Bridget Bishop to the top of Gallows Hill and hanged her alone from the branches of a great oak tree. Now, this is fucking rich. Now the honest men of Salem could sleep in peace, sure that the shape of Bridget would torment them no more.
the honest Puritan men. Give me a fucking break. Lord
How
knows,
fucked up is that?
Lord knows what they were doing.
Oh my God.
The honest men of Salem can sleep in peace because Bridget will not be fucking tormenting them again.
I bet you, I bet you Bridget was fucking hot.
Oh yeah.
I could probably look it up. But like for sure, it's like, oh, a sexy woman who's rejecting me is probably a witch.
I mean, the misogyny runs deep.
Oh, God,
and
deep.
The fear of women runs deep. Okay, the next one is...
That is really actually brilliant.
It's rich.
Yeah, rich.
So the next one is this woman called... This woman named Sarah Good, and she was one of the other first women to be accused of witchcraft. And she was considered a social nuisance. So a lot of the women that ended up becoming labeled as witches were sort of outcasts. They were not women of faith, and they were sort of on the outsides.
Yeah, they were questioning authority and questioning what they were fed, like spoon-fed.
So she was a good candidate to be labeled a witch. She was a social outcast, but she didn't go to church and wasn't able to recite any psalms. So much like us. And when she went to trial, her husband said, I with tears that she is an enemy to all good. So all these people's, these women's husbands are just like,
turn on them.
It. Well, yeah. Cause they don't want to get in trouble. And, so when a minister asked her to confess to being a witch, she screamed at him saying, "You're a liar. I'm no more a witch than you are a wizard. If you take my life away, God will give you blood to drink."
Wow.
And then she ended up being executed, obviously. And her daughter, Dorothy, was the youngest woman to be accused in the trials, but she escaped execution. Her daughter was like 4 years old and was...
They accused a four-year-old child
of being a witch. How fucking insane is that?
You know... I think if at that point I'm like, these guys are going to kill me, I would probably go out with a fucking bang too.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Because I'm like, there's no taking, this is like a mob of like their mind is made up.
Yeah.
I might as well haunt them with my last words.
Right. Cause that's what's really going to hit at the end of days, I guess.
Oh God. That makes me so sad actually.
Cause
it just sounds so scary.
The whole town is after you.
I know it sounds, I know it was hundreds of years ago, but like, people haven't changed. Everyone's afraid to die. It's so fucking sad.
It's so sad. So there's a couple others, but I'm going to go to Giles Corey because he was one of the only men that were labeled and convicted of being a witch. So he reacted to the witch trials like everybody else in town. He was like, you're a witch, and just scared for his own life, kind of labeling everybody else a witch, including his wife.
Oh,
so
karma.
He testified against his wife, acknowledging that he had some animals fall mysteriously ill and that he saw his wife behave strangely near a fire. So he's accusing his wife, but then suspicion ended up falling on him because a number of young women claimed that he bewitched them.
Mm. People in glass houses, friends. Like, it's like before you cast a fucking stone, it can come back on you just as quickly.
So he, all these women like went into these fits, of course, as he walked into the courtroom, which proved that he was also a witch. And he refused to talk and like refused to cooperate because sometimes if they'd plead guilty, they would not kill them. And it was a lot of the women that would end up being defiant and say that they're not a witch, that they're like, well, you're obviously a witch because you're not saying that you're a witch. So
if you say I'm a witch, they're like, okay, you're not a witch. I don't understand. This seems
sometimes
backwards.
Sometimes they could escape execution by just like admitting that they were witches. But so because he refused to talk, he was, quote unquote, pressed to death with stones, which was given the sentence of Pienfort. I'm going to botch this. Et dur. I don't know what that means. But he was stripped naked and laid on a ground with a board covering his body. And one by one, they would put rocks on top of him until he was finally crushed to death, which is fucking insane.
I'm gonna make myself, hopefully he lost consciousness like way before, I mean he was in pain, I don't know. That
sucks.
Is so crazy.
Oh,
it's so crazy. And then his wife Martha avoided this same fate, but she too was executed for being a witch 3 days later, and she was killed on September 22nd, which was the day that we it's the anniversary.
She was with the eight.
She was with the final eight women that ended up being hanged. So
he killed his first one. Oh, the second. Oh, he cast doubt on his wife first, but then it fell on him and he was killed first.
And then she was killed 3 days later.
Wow, that is so sad.
It's so fucking crazy. So those are only like a couple out of the, I think, 19, 20 women or people that 19 people that were killed. But yeah, each of their stories was so interesting. There was like one woman that was a nurse and like a woman of faith. And it was so bizarre that she was being cast as a witch. And then another woman, they thought she was a witch because they thought she brought smallpox to the town. So it was like every person has their own unique story, but it's so fucked up.
And I'm sorry, the person who brought smallpox to town is someone from Europe. Who arrived. That's where smallpox came from. It did not come from within your community.
The question is, who brought paranoia to town? Because that's what did the most damage.
No, but I think, again, this is just the way it is. Like, people have to point. We see it in wars. We see it in pop culture. We see it all over the internet. Yeah. We see it in politics. Like, you have to point to someone as the reason for your whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. And maybe look inward, people.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll continue to happen. But this is very, very interesting.
Totally.
So all these people were fucked up. And none of them were witches, but they had a lot of bad things done to them. So we're going to hear the maybe not as bad things that you people have ever done next.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
You are a horrible person.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Let's just get right to it, shall we?
Hi. So, I guess this story kind of encapsulates all of the bad things that I've done, or at least majority of them, in life. So, growing up, I was kind of like the really good kid. Didn't want to get in trouble. Didn't want to do anything bad. In high school, I had the same boyfriend from freshman year to senior year. So, senior year, I had gone out of town on vacation. And when I got back, I heard that my best friend had gone and slept with my boyfriend. So, me being me, I felt like for some reason it must have been something I did. So, because of that, I just kind of let it slide, didn't mention it, didn't say a thing. Well, fast forward to our senior homecoming. So it's the football game homecoming, and my friend and I are just sitting there, and she was acting very odd. So I'm like, what is going on? And so she decided to flip the script and say that I was the one who had slept with her ex-boyfriend, which was not true. So after this big blow up, I guess, I got angry, was defending myself, and said a lot of words that I literally blacked out, don't remember. We were surrounded by teachers and all the staff, like our superintendent of the district, all of them. I just went off on her. So everything happened. I got escorted out by the cops and wasn't allowed to go back in. No big deal. Surprised I didn't get in more trouble. So after that whole situation, it kind of led her ex-boyfriend and I to start talking, get together, and, you know, we were put in a situation, so if they're going to accuse us, why don't we talk? So we started talking. Didn't sleep together, didn't do anything like that. So we're talking, and one thing leads to another. I go to his house to hang out. At the time, I didn't really want anyone to know that because, you know, it's a situation where it would just cause rumors. It was a very small town. I didn't want to deal with the drama. He didn't either. So I also didn't want my parents to know. And so it was, I don't know, I think it was winter break maybe. And I had volunteered at the church. So I helped babysit the kids in church. And it was only like a half day thing. Well, I told my parents that it was from like 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. They believed me. Not my fault that they believed me. But, I had never lied to my parents before. So I guess, you know, maybe that's why they believed me. Anyway, after this church daycare ended, I would go over to his house. and we'd hang out and just, you know, we'd ride ATVs or horses or anything like that, and just hang out, spend time together. I got really close to his family. Like, his mom and I were great. We talk all the time. So we just all became really close. So after a while, we kind of kept that the rest of the school year, kind of just stayed that way. We were friends, didn't want anyone to know, unfortunately. And so graduation comes and goes. We go to college. We decided not to, you know, take it any further, but we wanted to stay friends, wanted to get together, go to the movies, things like that, because he went to a different school than I did. So after a while, he had asked me out officially, and so I was like, yeah, of course, like, sure, we're great friends, what's the harm? So we're dating, and I met a new guy in school, in college, and I mean, it was great. It was exciting. It was fun. I dated the same guy through high school, and so I never really had a different relationship, but I also never really got with other guys. So I kind of did, and it led to me ghosting the guy who I was great friends with, his family, everything like that. I just ignored him, and I felt like, you know, we didn't go to the same school. He didn't know me. It was no big deal. He didn't know me, but I was intentionally ghosting him, I should say. After a while, he found me on Facebook. I ignored it, just all of the things. I felt really bad. So after that, we just didn't talk at all, like ever. So to this day, still haven't talked to him. I don't know if you call that ghosting for 10 years, but that's what I did. I mean, I now know, like, on Instagram, he's doing great in life, so I'm happy to see that. But overall, one fight in high school over a comment that got switched around kind of led to all of the bad things that I've done in life, I mean, thus far. So, yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, so what I'm getting from this is that you feel bad about the ghosting, not about the best friend being the ex, because the best friend gaslit you and was like, even though she slept with your boyfriend, she accused you of sleeping with hers.
Yeah.
And now then you became friends with him, and then you feel bad because you ghosted him once there was actual romantic interest.
Right.
And then you had just gotten to college, but you're like, I'm spreading my wings. I can't be held down. Okay. So we had very different college experiences in that, like, I did some crazy things with people I dated, people I was just seeing. They did crazy things to me. Like, the fact that you feel bad about this, you're such a good person.
Yeah, you're a little angel.
You are.
I mean, people unfortunately ghost each other all of the fucking time. Normally, it's guys ghosting girls. So we kind of deal with that.
Girls ghost a lot.
But guys in general, they treat women worse than women.
Guys started ghosting. I will give them that. Like, we never would have done this barbaric thing without you.
No. And honestly,
right, Jared?
Maybe it's...
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, everybody.
Jared would never ghost. Jared would be like, you want to get married?
Yeah.
No. Jared's monogamy only kind of guy.
I ghost at, like, parties.
Yeah. That's a fade.
It's a fade.
Yeah, that's not a ghosting. A ghosting is, like, ignoring somebody that has romantic interests.
Yes.
And like, you
also had romantic
previously interest. You were on the same page, and then one day you weren't and didn't tell anyone.
Unfortunately, this happens to everybody, and maybe it was a little bit of a character building for him, and, you know, just setting him up for the cruel, cruel harshness of the reality of
Welcome to life, baby.
It's
not fair.
Nope.
And you know what? You're a good person because you still feel bad about it. That means you probably only ghosted him in your whole life. Yeah. I'm telling you, most people have got like 30, 40 under their belt.
Yeah. So
not me, but people for sure. Jared's making a face. Honestly,
I think we're good.
Are we ready for the ultimate time?
Ready.
Wow. And you said you wrote a poem for this one.
I did write a poem.
Yes.
Let's hear it.
Brace yourselves. It's been a while since my creativity has been flowing as naturally as it did today.
Mm.
So this is inspired by the Salem witch trials.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
It's called George is a Witch.
Yes.
George is a witch. He'll cast your spell. He'll send your soul right down to hell. He'll wear a hat. He'll grant your wish. but then he'll betray you and he'll do a switch. He'll do the opposite of what you asked. He'll rob you blind. He'll take your cash. A naughty witch without a cause. He'll break into your home and scare your dogs. He won't abide by any laws. You might call him the opposite of Santa Claus.
Oh. That was amazing.
Oh, dude.
Scary the dogs, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Santa Claus, you know, you got it.
I got all.
It's what I've been waiting for.
Great job.
I love it.
The sabbatical paid off.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.